Well, the Hatch Act was a law that was passed in 1939. It's an old law. Roosevelt was the president, and typewriters were about the most advanced means of communication. The point was to try and get politics out of the federal government and make sure that the merit system was being protected. The law desperately needs to be updated. What we're seeing are unfair results and probably unintended consequences that were never meant to be part of the act. Let me give you a couple of examples. We're seeing some unfair results in state and local election cases where folks who would like to run for their local offices like school board or even, county coroner can't because the jobs that they have are funded in part through federal funds. For example, we have a law enforcement officer who works in the canine unit, and because his dog is funded through some federal money, he couldn't run for the school board. We were in a position of having to tell this gentleman who just wanted to serve his community that he couldn't because of his canine partner. Another example is, deputy sheriffs. Who better to run for sheriff than a deputy sheriff? They can't because their jobs are funded with federal money.
So what would the law change? What language would prevent that from happening and let people have that little flexibility?
Well, one of the proposals that we've made to Congress is that they take us out of the business of enforcing the Hatch Act for state and local elections. It doesn't mean that the Hatch Act still wouldn't apply to state employees who, work in areas that aren't a partisan election or aren't running for partisan election. But we don't want to be in the business of telling people you can't run for sheriff or school board. So that would be one of our proposals. The second proposal is to change the penalty structure of the Hatch Act, because right now there's only one presumptive penalty, and that's termination. If you're found in violation of the Hatch Act, you're fired.
Oh, that's it? There's no second chance? There's no fee or fine?
No. Unlike most other types of violations in the federal government, termination is really the presumptive penalty. And we think that there ought to be a range of penalties, like progressive discipline. You could get a warning or you could get a suspension, even a fine of up to $1,000. Right now, the presumption is that you'll be fired. And so we think that leads to some unfair results and unintended consequences.
So someone that accidentally wears their George McGovern button into the office has the same consequence as someone who hands out campaign flyers for the upcoming presidential election.
Well, I'm not sure if just wearing the button would do it, but that's the idea.
Yeah. Wow. And what's the reaction on the Hill so far?
Well, we introduced the proposal on Thursday, and our sense is that there's going to be strong bipartisan support. Before we sent the legislation over, we did have conversations with several congressional staff and members of Congress who have expressed their support for changing the Hatch Act. In fact, there have been several hearings in Congress over the last several years about the problems with the Hatch Act. I think people are aware of the problems and really want to change them. This is a piece of legislation that would be, really good for the government. It would not cost any money. And I think it's really a bipartisan issue, and we hope that there will be lots of bipartisan support.
We are talking with Carolyn Lerner, the special counsel in the Office of Special Counsel, and the office has also been busy coming to the aid of federal whistleblowers, defending two of them. Can you bring us up to speed on those stories and what your role is in defending what they're going through?
Sure. A little background. What our office does is handle, first of all, disclosures from people who want to make claims of waste, fraud, or abuse, or health or safety issues. So we have a disclosure unit that does that. And then we have a investigation and prosecution unit that actually investigates claims when people feel that they've been retaliated against for having made that disclosure. So we have, in the last week, filed a motion with the Merit Systems Protection Board, the MSPB, to temporarily stop adverse actions against two employees who made protected disclosures. One is an employee who blew the whistle on safety issues concerning mine-resistant vehicles in Iraq. After he blew the whistle on the Marine Corps, he was suspended. He was recently taken off of administrative leave, and looks like he's going to be terminated. We've asked the MSPB to stay or temporarily stop this adverse personnel action. The second case that we asked the MSPB to stay last week involved an officer for the U.S. Public Health Service who had led a team of scientists who found serious radiation exposure problems with breast cancer screening equipment. And after he disclosed his findings, he was terminated. So, again, we're asking that while we investigate these claims, the MSPB stay the adverse personnel actions against these two employees. And those are examples of the types of cases that we are involved in.
So when you ask those that the terminations be temporarily stopped, you're not taking sides on the merits. You're just trying to make sure the process is fair.
Exactly. We haven't made any determinations yet. But we're saying give us some time to investigate these allegations.
So describe a little bit more the interplay between your office of special counsel and the MSPB. I mean, who ultimately decides it, and how do you work together because you both get involved in the same cases?
Well, we're sort of like the prosecutors, and they're the judge and jury. We investigate cases and determine whether or not there's merit to them, and if we think that there is merit, we can prosecute them to the MSPB. We can bring disciplinary actions to the MSPB. Employees also can bring a case through an individual right of appeal to the MSPB.
What are some of your priorities? You've been in the office for 100-plus days now. What are some of your priorities down the road as you hold the Office of Special Counsel?
Well, I think an overall goal is trying to create an environment in the government where open dialogue is not only accepted but encouraged. We want to make sure that whistleblowers feel free to come forward and feel that they'll be protected once they do. We know the value of whistleblowers. They save the government a lot of money. In the last 2 years alone, we have figured that disclosures to our office have saved over $8 million. And that's not even counting the protective effect, you know, in cases that we can't necessarily quantify monetarily, but in, you know, increased safety, medical procedures and devices, lives that have been saved, plane crashes that didn't happen because of disclosures. So we know that they save money. We know that there's a value, and we want there to be, you know, that value recognized throughout the government. We want to protect the merit system, and if people feel that there's a place to come where their rights can be protected, we think that will improve the overall merit system in government. We want to make the Office of Special Counsel more accessible to employees. We hope to increase outreach to agencies. We want to revamp our website so that more information is available. And we want to also help managers understand their responsibilities and help to provide training. We think people want to comply with the law, and we have to make sure that they have the training and education so that they can do so.
Is that an issue that you have come across, is that maybe sometimes managers just don't know? They don't have any evil intent. They just don't know.
I think that can be very common, yes.
There's been some controversy. The prior special counsel, that term tenure did not end well, and there's morale problems have been reported there. What are you doing internally to make the office up to snuff?
Well, I think the rumors of the morale problems may be a little bit overblown. Since I've been there, I have gotten to know a group of highly committed, dedicated employees, many of whom have been there 15, 20 years, and many of whom have, you know, stayed through the prior administration's era. These are career employees who are really focused on the important work of the agency, and I think that really is the key. We're doing so much important work. We are working with military veterans and members of the reserves through our USERRA unit. USERRA is the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. And we just started a new demonstration project that's going to be increasing the number of USERRA cases that we handle by 200 or 300 a year. We're really excited about this new project, and we're going to be both investigating and prosecuting USERRA cases on behalf of, you know, members of the military and the reserves to make sure that their employment rights are protected. We just started a new pilot project to put a few more resources into retaliation cases, and we are going to do for the next 6 months a pilot project called the Retaliation Pilot Project to get more folks handling those types of cases and put a little bit more emphasis there for the first 6 months. We've been really active with our disclosure unit. And that, as I mentioned earlier, is the place where folks can come who have disclosures about health and safety concerns or waste, fraud, and abuse. And these are all really vibrant, robust units, and they're doing important work. And I think the employees are really excited about the work that we're doing. So I'm very encouraged and very excited about this agency.
How do you reach out to feds and members of the military who might not realize that you're doing the work that you're doing, and maybe they have a case, or maybe they have a whistle that needs to be blown? How do you find those people and let them know that you're there?
Well, it is really interesting. I don't think many federal employees still don't know about the Office of Special Counsel. So doing shows like this one, I really appreciate your having me here today, Amy and Tom, because it lets me get the word out to the federal workforce that the Office of Special Counsel is there, and we are a resource for them, and we want folks to feel comfortable coming to our office and know that we're a resource for them. Just like we're a resource for managers as well. If there's an area that they want training in, we do a lot of Hatch Act training. Agencies often request that we come out and explain what their obligations are and their responsibilities are. So we perform that function as well. I think, you know, doing outreach, you know, getting results on behalf of employees, working with management, I think all those steps are going to help us get the word out to the federal community that we are there and want to be of help to them.
So 100 days, you've got a lot of initiatives launched. How's the budget situation looking for you?
Well, like all federal agencies, it's pretty tight. You know, we are looking at ways to save money. We're going to try and reduce our rent over expense, you know, overhead expenses if we can. We're looking at every item in our budget to see where we can cut back. You know, cutting back on legal subscriptions actually saves a fair amount of money, and you know, all those things that maybe you know, are sort of expected, where we're trying to really look at them and see where we can cut back. But we're hoping that Congress will recognize the important work that we do, especially because of our new responsibilities for USERRA and protecting members of the military and returning service members and our increased caseloads. We've asked Congress to please account for that in our next year's budget.
We talked just a little bit off the air. I wanted to touch on it before we let you go about the issue of backlog. And you said it kind of depends on how you define backlog. So where does that stand now, and what are your goals with that?
We have put more resources into our retaliation cases. That's in our Investigation and Prosecution Division. It's where we handle whistleblower retaliation complaints. And that's an area that we felt had the most backlog, mm-hmm. and that's one of the reasons that we're starting this pilot project. And we don't have as much backlog in the other areas. Our disclosure unit is pretty much up to date. Our USERRA unit is going to be getting significantly more cases.
We're anticipating that.
You know, 200 to 300 more cases a year. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we don't get backlogged in that area. One of the other things that we're doing is starting a new mediation program. And more cases that can get into mediation and alternative dispute resolution without having to be investigated will also help address future backlog problems and prevent them from happening in the first place.